Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Butcher.
Yes, we're back with a topic.
And an illness. Yes, I'm quite croaky and snuffly today, so I'm going to let co-host do the most of the talking today.
That's fine, because I'm...
Because it's your topic.
Yes, and I've also got allergies, so that's fine.
It's a show of woe.
I've started getting allergies whenever it rains.
You're allergic to water?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how these humans of Earth cope with so much of it all around the place, all the time.
Quite lucky I replaced all the water in my body with beer, really.
So what's your topic?
My topic is finishing games.
Finishing games.
Yes.
Interesting.
As some people might be aware, I've been recording all the games that I've finished this year so far. And as we're recording, we're just finishing week 17, and I've finished 17 games.
Wow, you don't want a week since the beginning of the year.
On average.
Fair enough.
And some a lot shorter than others.
Yeah, okay.
But it does beg the question, how do you finish a game? What is finishing a game now?
Well,
what criteria makes you move on to the next one?
Yeah, well, okay, so let's perhaps do it by elimination. Not finishing a game and moving on to the next one is... I mean, I talked lots about difficulty on the previous topic show, but basically you can certainly get bored of a game and move away, or find it too difficult to finish and move away. Apart from that, if you don't then fall foul of those two perils, you will eventually finish the game. So finishing the game depends, I suppose. Well, it's a context thing, isn't it? It depends on what the game presented to you is. A single game of, I don't know, tic-tac-toe or chess or something, that's finished and you move on very quickly. But a massive story-based third-person cover-based shooter with copious cutscenes and proper A-list voice acting and stuff, that presents itself as a narrative journey.
Let's start with the narrative journey as the first one.
Okay.
That's what I've been using for determining whether or not I complete a game. And also, the terminology for finishing and completing a game and playing through a game is a complete mess. What do you call it? When you say finishing a game,
there are
what
different
do you
levels,
think?
Aren't there? Yeah, I think. Well, okay, so you've got the story.
Yes.
You start the game. There's a load of cutscenes. There's a bit of character establishment. Then the threat and the peril, and you move through. You generally have to go to like three or four different places to do some things to eventually have a crack at the boss.
Odds are a lot of people are going to die along the way.
Yeah, and then eventually you confront the boss. You stop him doing whatever the hell he's doing, and you walk away having saved the world, which is pretty much finished
and
the game.
And then the end credits come up.
Yes, that's finished the story.
Yes.
Now, whether that's finished the game, like, that's often a different thing.
The language I'm going towards with that is played through.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I've played through. And because you can also play through a game multiple times.
You've completed the very basic task that's been put in front of you.
Yeah, but in some games, that's all there is.
Okay, yeah.
And others, there's more.
Right.
Take, for instance, Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, yeah.
Playing through the plot of that, just the basic plot, the core missions...
This would be five, or just the series
in
general? Yes,
or any of them.
Yeah.
That is a lot different than playing through all of the available missions.
Yeah, so we have the concept of side missions, where there's lots of optional things that you don't necessarily need to do to stop the, you know, to reach the end of the narrative journey. You can go straight to the end, or you can dawdle about as much as you like along the way. Is that typically a function of what we call sandbox games, open world type games?
Yes, yeah.
Is that perhaps one of the definitions of that genre?
Yes,
the idea that you can finish the game and still have only seen and completed 30% of the content.
I think so, and it's getting to be a lot more in other games. Bits of the sandbox are being dropped in.
And the story's getting perhaps shorter and shorter and becoming perhaps more in the way of tutorials and just introductions to what's available. I'm thinking particularly of Just Cause 2. You're sent to this Far Eastern rogue nation to go and destabilise it and deal with the dictator. And they make you go away and do some side stuff to build up your chaos meter as a way of pacing the content through. But the actual time spent doing the main agency missions, which are effectively the main A story through it, is very, very small indeed. There's about 8 missions.
Yeah,
if that.
It's a very short game for a game which takes you tens of hours to play.
They're often quite quick as well. You know, you go to a base, you mess it up, you shoot down a helicopter, job done, wait, do it, go off and blow some stuff up, come back for the next mission. But if you chain those missions together, yeah, perhaps 2-3 hours worth.
Yeah.
And you come out at the end of that into something they call mercenary mode, which then presents you with a percentage score of all the things in the game. So to theoretically, to do the 100% of that game, you need to do all the things. Find all the boxes, blow up all the oil tankers, find all the hidden things and all the rest of it. So, and typically, well, I don't know about you, but when I came out at the end of the story, I'd achieved about 40% of the mercenary mode bar chart. There was still 60% of the things that still needed doing at the end of the story.
I was higher because I was doing other things along the way, like the races and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. I'd dabbled a bit as well, but I was just quite interested to find out how the narrative went. And the narrative's a powerfully compelling thing for me in this kind of game, which means that I will typically blast all the way through the narrative, hopefully, and so far generally safe in the knowledge that it will still give me lots to do afterwards. Yeah. In my own pace and on my own time. But my first go at one of these open sandbox games, I will typically just blast straight into the story and get all the way through. And I've sort of developed an assumption, because it's how these things work, that it won't just, you know, game over. See, do you remember Fallout 3?
Yes.
When Fallout 3 came out, everyone was outraged because it was essentially a level-based, stat-based sort of RPG, but with a lot of first-person elements. And you'd troop around the wasteland, you know, looking at all this stuff, and it's all quite fun and interesting, but you can't possibly see all of it in the first go because you're interested in the story. You want to find out where your dad is, and then you've got to stop all this thing, and then there's that craziness with the giant robot at the end. And you get to the end of that, and because of some plot... Spoilers, is it? Spoiler alert. Because of some plot, you basically end up having to make a bold sacrifice at the very end of it all, which essentially kills you, your character. Or you don't make the sacrifice and someone else does it and you get given the bad ending. But either way, you're given the ending.
Yes.
And you weren't allowed to just walk away from that and go and fiddle about with the extra side stuff. And loads of people got really cross with that. And they had to patch it, I think,
yeah,
in the end.
In the end, they patched in the ability to keep playing. Because there's nothing like getting to the end of a game and not being able to continue.
But because that was a very final end of the game, when you finished that game, you were finished. Your character was finished.
But, yeah, that's
And
something...
you don't see that done a lot, and that caused a lot of outrage.
Yeah, a lot of games... Well, it gives you an artistic problem. You can't have a solid ending on a game now.
It's a conflict between story and game, isn't it?
Yeah.
A story needs an end, a game shouldn't have one.
What a lot of them really. Will do is they will now, Saints Row, for instance, will put you back just before the final mission.
Yeah, I think Final Fantasy 13, some stuff at the very end of that goes all bonkers, but then there's some weird time and space nonsense that pulls you right back to just before the bit where you go on the railroad to the very end boss, and then you go off to go and play with the little pseudo-open world bit as much as you like. You know, and the same with Assassin's Creed games. You know, usually you'll find yourself back in the Animus for some reason, you know, particularly the end of 3, that's quite an interesting call, artistically.
I never quite understood that one.
You have to break the fourth wall and sort of muck about with the immersion a bit just to allow people to... Because it's absolutely expected that you want to still have the playground after the end.
There's two things. One, you want to still have the playground, and two, they want to sell you DLC.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
Yeah, plots are the easiest ones to define.
I think if you view games as narrative games as story, then yes, beginning, middle, end, your classic three-act structure, all the rest of it, and there will be some sort of reckoning beyond which you can have said that you finished it.
Yeah, looking at my list of games I've finished this year, one of them is Black Flag.
Okay.
And I haven't stopped playing that.
No.
I've just finished the plot, and I'm now going through, and I'm basically plundering every island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Imagine, like the other Assassin's Creed games, I haven't played Black Flag myself, but like the others, I imagine there's a massive open world to just go and find hidden feathers and stuff in. And you're not necessarily going to want to, you know, reserve finishing the story until you've done all of that side stuff. Because the story has its own pace. It will draw you along. You'll want to know more.
And also with every Assassin's Creed game, that one included, you're never quite sure where the ending's coming.
Oh, right, we're done. Yeah, good. Yeah.
So that's the criteria I've been using, but you can start making that a bit more complicated. Where does DLC fit in with this?
Well, DLC will extend a story or start a new mini-story, typically. So, is that its own self-contained thing?
Yeah, so I'm doing this, I finished these games.
I suppose my gut feeling would be that you have finished a game if you've completed the content that was there originally.
Okay, but
I typically don't count DLC as that kind of thing, because it moves goalposts and I get cross.
Take Bioshock. Infinite.
Okay.
Just had part 2 of Burial at Sea. It's a rather splendid Rapture-based DLC.
Oh, right. Back to Rapture, is it?
Yeah. And
It sounds like its own game. It sounds like, basically, DLC to me is a sequel that they just didn't have the guts to do as a massive standalone release. Because it's cheaper to make DLC that just bolts onto the main original engine, but it is a sequel, essentially.
But
I think
something like that, I would think, yes, I consider that as a playthrough or something else, but some of the other DLCs you get are really, really quite small.
Mm, yeah, just an extra mission or a challenge room or something.
Yeah, so it's really hard to justify saying that you've completed it, some DLC as any kind of achievement at all.
I expect you'll come onto achievements later, but I think certainly narratively, in terms of story and so on, tacking more bits on the end, I don't think that invalidates or unfinishes a game.
Well,
I think if you got it when it released and you played your way through it and you enjoyed it and you got to the end and it was all satisfying closure and everything, then I think that's that. You know, you can put a tick in the metaphorical box and it doesn't matter what comes next. You know, some half-assed extra couple of levels that they didn't have time to finish or whatever gets bolted on. That shouldn't make any difference on your own perceptions of completing that particular game.
Let's take Assassin's Creed. What was the one with those two dodgy missions that they put in as DLC?
I think it was two. There was chapter 16 and 17, I think, the Bonfire of the Vanities and some other thing.
Yeah.
That sort of, you just ended, you quite obvious, because this was actually day one at DLC, but it was quite clearly marketed as from launch DLC. They were going to add this, you would have expected to buy it as extra. Because it just jumps straight over that in the DNA tracker timeline thing in the game. And you think, hello, what happened there? And yes, apparently, I think there might have been day one DLC. It should be. It was probably codes you had to enter once you got the box home, that kind of thing. And I didn't have it because I think I borrowed it. But
yeah, so
or I didn't buy the extra pack or whatever.
Whether or not that is,
I suppose it could be said then that I haven't properly completed Assassin's Creed 2 because I haven't experienced those interim medium bits of content.
They weren't that great, to be honest.
I can imagine not, because what happens after that, where you get jumped straight across the gap if you don't have them, seems to make complete narrative sense anyway. So obviously these extra bits are just complete side stories that had no real bearing on the main thing at all.
Yeah. So that's the easy ones to define, I think.
Okay.
But that's not the way most people play nowadays.
Not most people. I don't understand people much.
Let's bring in MMOs.
Yes.
When
this is my kind
have
of people.
You finished an MMO?
This is a trick question. You have never finished an MMO. Well, I don't know. I mean, you could arguably say that Max Level, because they put such a focus on your level, the level is a definition of who and what you are and what you're capable of. It's how you interact with the world around you. And it's the reward and progression both for defeating monsters. If you put the basic gameplay of MMOs down as killing monsters, the reward for that is more XP, and the XP goes in a pile, and when the pile gets big enough, your number goes up, and when your number goes up to the top number, you could conceivably have said to have finished the MMO.
Yeah, but
most people don't really do that. If they've stuck it out that long, and these are really lengthy tasks, you know, back in my day, here we go, EverQuest 1999, rambling now, it was generally accepted that you would spend about 2,000 hours to get to max level in EverQuest 1. In 2000s.
It's about 2,000 minutes now, isn't it? Especially in EverQuest, where you just buy a character.
Well, EverQuest 2, they sell level 85 characters. The max level in EverQuest 2 is 92, though, so you've still got to do a bit more. But
yeah, you've got to kill a couple of mobs.
Yeah, perhaps. It's completely unrelated. I downloaded and had a quick go at EverQuest 1 the other day.
Is it harsh?
It's no. It's very boring, I'll say that. But no, they basically redesigned and revamped so much stuff in there and cranked the XP lever that it's not even the nostalgic experience I remember anymore, so I got bored of it and left. But you know, everything's easier now. You know, I think 200 hours would probably be overstating it. You're probably talking 50 to 100 hours, 100 hours to max level in a modern MMO.
I don't know, I never really thought about it. I know, because MMOs
there's a lot
go
of very
out
fast stuff like Neverwinter, you crash through those levels really quickly. I'd imagine probably 50 hours isn't, or 100 hours is nearer the mark. But yes, max level is theoretically, in terms of the primary task they have put in front of you, you know, increasing your level to the maximum, completing that task is a way of saying that you finished that game.
But that doesn't take into account the end game.
It doesn't take into account alts either.
Yeah.
A lot of people will get to there and then they'll just roll another one and off they go again.
Do you have to do it for every character class? That's one of the reasons why I'm quite enjoying playing Final Fantasy XIV at the moment, because my character's every single class.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. Would you consider you to have completed an MMO after getting to the top with only one character, or must you have experienced it as every type of class to say you've done it properly?
That's playstyle. If there's different content, if you've got different content lines in different areas, say a good and an evil.
Yeah, go up all the way up as Horde, then all the way up as Alliance. And that's typically, that kind of thing doesn't present you with a vastly different experience. It's very few MMOs that completely segregate the two sides.
And they always converge. Yeah, in the mid game,
you get to about level 20 or 30, and you'll just both be doing the same sorts of zones and content from either side anyway. Now,
okay, take Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, okay.
Can you be considered in That's some ways to have completed it if you've played all of the legendary story stuff?
I'm not sure you can be said to have completed it if you've completed everything they've currently got there, because we've not got to Mordor yet. We've not helped Frodo dump the ring in the fire.
No, we'll be doing the dumping.
We've not flown Frodo back with the new aerial combat upgrade back to the Shire and what have you. You know, I mean, the Lord of the Rings itself has a beginning and a middle and an end. And if you're doing an MMO based on that, then I suppose it could be said that you just have to sit on your hands and wait until they've provided the path that goes all the way through the story they're trying to copy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, yeah.
Well,
but yes, at the top end, it typically branches out in MMOs. You have faction grinding, you have these alternate types of bar. I mean, Star Trek Online, you get to 50 quite quickly. But once you get to 50, you're then eligible to take up the repetitive grinding of elite strike forces for up to, I think, so they've added a fifth faction now.
Wow.
Yeah, with the Season 9 stuff, which I
think they've added
dropped.
Lots of Voyager bollocks, haven't they?
Lots of Undine and Borg-type shenanigans going on at the moment, yeah. I haven't had a chance to have a proper look at that yet, but I imagine I will at some point.
We're not at home to Voyager.
Well, but I think there is now five different factions that you can bash out XP. Yeah, well, it's not even XP. The XP becomes meaningless at that point, because the reputation bar takes on the XP bar's job.
Yes.
So you've got five different divergent extra, another five levels worth on top of each, I think, something like that. There's always more to do.
And they're always adding new stuff as well, so it's quite possible that you can never actually finish an MMO until they stop developing it.
Well, it comes back to your DLC point, doesn't it? If you consider to have completed the at-launch content as completed the game, MMOs continually add DLC all the time. They're always moving the goalposts, and they're often increasing the level count when they do so.
So in that case, can you be considered have completed each expansion?
I think so. You can be considered to have completed the game, but MMOs, I think, can uncomplete for you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I have max level characters in any MMO anymore. There was a time, I mean, I got one planetside, one character to the top, and then they, you know, after the time I went away, they added another ton of battle ranks on there, so I was now only a mid-rank character.
Yeah, I logged into Lord of the Rings Online a couple of months ago.
I was immensely proud of my level 50 World of Warcraft warrior at the time. This was pre-Burning Crusade, pre-anything. It was just vanilla. But then there's like expansions and more levels and so on. I was quite proud of my Hobbit having reached the max level in Lord of the Rings Online. I'm now about 15 levels short of the cap now.
Yep.
So MMOs especially, and I suppose then if you're going to apply that backward, DLC for standalone single-player games can potentially do that sort of thing too. If something like Borderlands adds super-duper Vault Hunter mode or whatever, then do you still now have a max-level character? Have you now still finished it, or do you have to go in there and put some more hours in?
Yeah. The big thing that I think is the reason why people move on from MMOs is something else coming out.
Yeah.
So could it be considered that finishing an MMO is having decided on your own?
You could be finished with an MMO.
Yes.
Whether you have finished the MMO is a different thing. It's who's dumped who, isn't it? And for why.
Yeah. Yeah, MMOs are a hard one because their entire business model is designed to keep you playing.
Certainly it was the case back in the monthly sub days when everything was $15 a month. You had to make sure people stayed for as many months as possible, so you had to make sure they didn't run out of stuff to do very quickly, otherwise they'd all bugger off and that'd take your income with it. But with the cash shop stuff these days, I think it's a bit hazier. I think you still have to be interested in the game, otherwise what's the point in spending cash shop points and buying cosmetic, you know, sparkle ponies or whatever for a game you don't care about anymore anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I think it probably does still apply even these days.
Okay. Let's move on to a different type of game. Civilization.
Okay.
When can you be considered to have finished Civilization?
Well, I think that's a pretty straightforward, clear-cut one, because this is essentially a computerised board game with a very set definition of parameters and turns and number of turns and so on. Typically, you're finished with a game of Civilization one way or another when you get to the year 2050 on the little in-game clock there. Yeah. And you can have achieved your objectives or not, in which case you've finished and lost the game. You can finish and lose a game, as well as finish and win a game. Finishing is just the game finishing.
Yeah. And something like Civilization is one of the few games left which will let you actually lose.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to lose most games now.
I suppose so, yeah. Respawns, load save game, carry on,
There are no single player games where you can lose.
Hmm. Well, it depends if you consider reloading a okay, so Civilization, you build up a massive army, you throw it at the enemy city, oh dear, we got our sums wrong, and your entire force is wiped out, and there's no way you're coming back from that, because you'll get stomped. You load a save game from a hunt from 10 turns back and carry on.
But in, say, a shooter now, you just move back to the last checkpoint.
Yeah.
Which, hand-holding is quite strong in these games now.
I suppose, yeah. So if you're more likely to finish or not finish a game based on boredom and interest than in innate difficulty.
Yeah.
Sort of coming back to the previous topic there.
The difficulty is just going to drive you away because you're bored of it or frustrated with it.
But yeah, Civilization, you can certainly finish it ahead of time if you meet one of the set victory conditions, you get the spaceship or whatever.
For the interest of my list, would me having played through a single game of Civilization be considered to be finishing it?
Interesting. I see what you mean, yeah. Technically, yes.
You
played a board game, you finish, you walk away.
But I have not mastered that game.
Finishing and mastery are different things. Yeah.
I would come away from one game of Civilization thinking I need to play this again and do it better next time.
Yes, I think finishing a game and that doesn't necessarily mean that you won't then immediately want to start another go and have it and try again. But that, in terms of a set game of Civilization, yes, you would have finished it when you hit the victory conditions on the first time you played.
Now, there is an example here of a recently released game where one playthrough was enough.
Yeah?
And that was the new SimCity. Okay. One playthrough of that had me convinced I had seen it all.
Yeah. I suppose in that case it's just a very short game.
Yeah.
You have technically finished it. I mean, yeah, you've got a big old list of completed games. There are games you've considered yourself to have finished. There's nothing there stopping you playing those games again if you'd liked them and enjoyed the experience.
Well, a lot of these games I've actually completed in the previous years.
Okay.
I've got stuff like Arkham Asylum there. I fancy playing Arkham Asylum again because it's one of the best games ever made.
Is that previous goes where you'd gotten bored or been distracted and that you've only now finished and completed them on a second or third go?
I've completed Arkham Asylum to the end on a PC, Xbox and PS3 now.
Yeah.
Because, I'm mad. okay, what about puzzle games? When have you completed Tetris?
I don't know. It depends on what arbitrary... I can't tell what happens at the top end of Tetris.
It gets unplayable.
You get to level 9 or whatever. Is it a score threshold you cross and it goes on to level 2 or whatever?
No, I think it just gets faster and faster.
Yeah, but it does step its way up through a certain number of levels. And presumably, I don't know if it has... I mean, so I know certainly back in the old days that a lot of games were designed with no actual victory conditional finish. Yeah. It was all about high scores, and you just keep going, and it gets faster and faster.
And you get to the mythical kill screen, which was the point where you've gone past level 255 or 128, and it has wrapped around and the game crashes.
It would be theoretically possible to kill those sorts of old games because they just use
Pac-Man
time.
Pac-Man actually has this, which is... fantastic, because no one's ever going to get that far.
Yeah.
And of course people do.
It's the sort of thinking that led to the sort of millennium bug, isn't it? The idea that no one will ever play this game up to level 256. You know, they'll get bored and go away a long time ago, or be killed. You know, but some people manage it, and then poor sloppy programming means that they crash some memory buffer, and that's that.
Yeah. So these are mainly high scoring games. So one of the ones I've been playing recently is Threes, which you basically is a number game where you match numbers and double them and stuff. At what point would any of these games be finished?
It depends if they had a you win screen at any point.
If
they don't, then you can... Well, you finish them when you die, obviously. That's the end of the game is over. But in terms of completionism, in the sense that we're talking about for this, I don't think they can be completed. No. Mathematically and literally, no.
Yeah, they're very frustrating in that way. Because they go onto your list of games played, but don't ever go into the end of the games you've finished.
Does getting to the top of a high score table mean you've completed it for now, until someone takes your record? record.
You never stay at the top of a high score table, and also you never get to the top of a high score table because odds are somebody's found some way to glitch it, so he's got the max score.
We've been playing a bit of Defiance lately, and they've got these challenge areas on the map. You go to a place, I think the first one that you come across, you're basically, it's like a sort of challenge room type of thing. You go off into an instance version of the area, and you're given a particular weapon with a certain number of shots, and you have to try and get as high a number of kills as possible, and it just keeps spawning creatures at you and so on. And I think there are gold, silver and bronze categories for scores. It's all very immersion breaking, and you need to get the silver one to tick off some overall achievement pursuit stuff, you know, for the meta achievement for the overall area. So silver are one of those, silver another of those. And I had a go, and I think Multi and Days were having a go at it as well. And we sort of blither about bronze and silver and just about get it. None of us have got gold. And I think silver is like 8,000 points and gold's 12,000 points. And it shows you the high score table of people who've recently tried it. And the top score on that high score table is about 450,000, and you can tell that something has gone. You're either in the presence of someone superhuman or not of this earth, or they've come across some way of breaking it or cheating it or hacking it in some fashion, because the highest score on this event is two or three or four orders of magnitude larger than the next one and the one after it and the one after it. And we spotted this in Guild Wars as well. Challenge missions there where you have to go out there and do a thing, and each time you do the thing you got a point, and you only have so much time limit to get it all done in. And yeah, there'd be, you know, realistic score, and then the first top score would be something that just boggles the mind and becomes almost inconceivable that that's even possible. So you sort of treat it with a lot of suspicion. But yeah, but that sort of high score table, yeah, I mean, it's quite, if you could get to the top of that, you might consider to have completed it, but I'm not sure, because that's all it takes is someone slightly better than you to come along next, and there you go, you're second place.
Well, I think the whole point of a high score table is to keep you playing for a long time
because the game itself doesn't have any particular finish.
Yeah, yeah. And at that point, it's outsourced its content to other people.
Yeah, yeah, beating, it's essentially a kind of PvP, not directly against each other, but you're competing against other players
Back in the day in arcades, those three letters that you got to put at the high school table was basically PvP, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What about Minecraft, which is actually a very interesting example?
Oh, I'm back in that again.
Because Minecraft has the end.
It does, yes.
They've added in the way to win.
Yeah,
this was some sort of jokey urban legend thing
that basically people kept going, oh, there's no way to win Minecraft, and Notch just put in this parallel dimension that needs some quite advanced crafting to access. And in it, there is a dragon that you can kill.
Yep.
And that's that. You've done it then.
Yep.
This happened on the Minecraft 5 Rocks Rapid server. They did it while I was out one Sunday. I think I might have been recording this show or something one week, and they all went out. They went to the end, and I think Sentak had done quite a lot of prep. He'd sort of accessed the end and set up advanced fortifications and a lot of equipment and stuff, and so it became almost a formality when the rest of the gang came along and actually went off to kill this dragon. And they got an egg from it, and they built a statue at the spawn point in the main world, and they got little signposts this is commemorated to, and a big list of people who were there, just to rub it in even more. And we got a new Minecraft server now.
We do, yes.
I'll talk lots more about that on the next What We're Playing show, but I think Sentax already located the end portal.
Yep.
And I think within about the next week, it's the end dragon, the completion of the game will be done, I imagine. He's promised to wait until I'm there this time, though, so that's good of him. But yeah, I mean, that's a sort of, I don't know, almost a kind of tongue-in-cheek lampshading of the concept of completing a game.
Exactly,
it's not really what Minecraft's about in the slightest. No, Minecraft is basically an enormous Lego, so you might as well ask if a child's completed Lego yet, you know?
I'm trying.
But yeah, I think, yeah, something like Minecraft. I think finishing Minecraft, it depends. I mean, Minecraft, certainly vanilla Minecraft, it doesn't have an end. It auto-generates new terrain as you explore it, up to 8 times the surface area of the planet Earth. And yes, you can build all sorts of elaborate structures and stuff. So the completion of Minecraft is your own interest. It's when you're getting a bit tired of it and you run out of ideas and things to do.
Yeah,
there's no way to win or finish Minecraft, I don't think.
More so than the MMO example. It's purely down to you.
ultimate open world sandbox. Yeah, there's very little in the way of prescribed content there for you to do. It's you know, here's the Lego box, go for it. And yeah, you can't really finish or complete something like that. You wouldn't be able to justifiably put Minecraft on your games I've completed this year list.
Oh no, I think you can, because it does have it does have the end.
If you like. If you need a plus one on your list, then go for it, yeah. You weren't even there, were you?
No, I wasn't
there. No, you missed it too.
Yeah, if you were recording this show, odds are I was.
Oh, you would
too.
Have been here too, yeah. So, yeah, I think Minecraft's an interesting sort of... throws the whole thing into something of an oblique relief.
Okay, let's move on a bit.
Okay.
Multiplayer. The Planet Sides, the Team Fortresses, yep. The myriad of other games.
Yeah.
The Call of Duties. Call of Duty is a good example,
okay,
because the percentage of people who play Call of Duty without ever touching the story is quite high.
That distresses me a bit.
Well, no, you haven't played a Call of Duty game, have you?
No.
No,
the story's not that great.
It's not worth touching.
The nearest I think I've ever come to that kind of thing is Bad Company, and that's quite good stories to those two. I quite enjoy them. It's a sort of retelling of Kelly's Heroes with a bit of first-person shooting.
The problem with Bad Company is they don't want to make another one because people don't like the story.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, I'm not that sort of player, then. I guess I just don't really have... Yeah. And I don't deserve a say in what goes on in first-person
shooters.
Well,
it is a shame. They want to make...
I do like stories.
It's just, yeah, it's a comedy story, and everyone looks at these just as the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah, well, as long as your multiplayer's solid, then the people who only want multiplayer shouldn't care less what goes on in the story, surely.
Now, let's take Call of Duty again.
Okay.
That has a level structure.
Yeah.
And when you get to the top of the level structure, you can do something which is called prestiging, which puts you back down to the bottom again and you have to go up again.
Okay, and so essentially starting an alt but keeping the same account.
Yeah, and you basically get a level saying how many times you've prestiged.
Okay.
So, you know, they've added...
Is that not just a level then?
Yeah, it's basically like having the tens column on your level.
So the actual level that's displayed next to anyone's character is absolutely irrelevant, because what you should be looking for is the number of times they've maxed out
Although,
that level.
But when you go back down to the
it's
bottom
just a
again...
It's just a multiplier.
When you go back down to the bottom again, you have to start unlocking all the equipment again.
Well, yeah, but these are the sort of people who can headshot you with the starter pistol from, like, quarter of a mile away. I don't think that's even relevant.
Yeah. So that is a band-aid over the level system to basically... deal with the fact that making the level system be
how can we make it unending but also give a max level? You can't, because this prestiging thing is essentially just a hundreds column, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, you never get more powerful than when you're at level 50.
Well, that just makes the levels even less relevant to anything at all than you'd think.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, it's all a bit weird.
Well, I did ask around on Twitter, and one example given was having spent 4,000 hours in Team Fortress 2 and still not being bored. So how do you finish a game which you are prepared
well,
to put...
Well, we have to make the distinction between bored and finished, isn't it? Finished with and I have finished.
Well, being bored of is one way of finishing
You'd
a game.
You'd thought someone playing any computer game after 4,000 hours would have completed it in some fashion and be onto alts or just starting again or hard mode
or
whatever.
But it's a reader-based shooter, so...
Yeah.
It's pure...
I don't think you can finish something like Team Fortress.
No,
if it is turning up... Yes, you finish a particular match, you know.
Yeah.
That's about the limit of it. And that's clearly not the end of anything, because if you're played through one match, you'll want to play more, probably.
You can't complete or finish Planetside 2, either.
Well, there is Battle Rank 100 and nothing beyond there.
But
there's no multiplier, no prestige. But like you start alts, I suppose.
Like in the first one...
Battle Rank 100 doesn't actually mean much at all. Long before that point, you'll have had enough cert points to unlock all the gubbins you're ever going to need. So,
well, in the first planet...
BR 100 is essentially a kind of prestige thing, but you don't know how far beyond BR 100 any particular player is. They could be a BR 100 who just got it today, or they could have been that for months. And, if it had gone indefinitely, they could be BR thousands or what.
Yeah, and it's completely irrelevant.
Well, it's some indication of how new a player is and how much commitment...
Okay, it's definitely
an indication of time spent, though. Yes, okay, you get XP for kills, but also you get XP for just following the herd around the map and being there when a base is captured. So given long enough, every player of Planetside will get BR 100, no matter how bad they are, as long as they manage to stick to the herd, you know. The better players get there quicker, I suppose, yeah. But it doesn't mean a lot. No,
and it's a game which is designed to be a never-ending war.
Yeah, I suppose technically you could call a BR 100 character finished in the same way you could call a Battle Rank 23 finished in the first game before they move the goalposts, but they will almost certainly add more ranks on the top, because it's a far too attractive and irresistible trap for an MMO designer to fall into, isn't it? Oh God, they're all max level. Let's add more levels then. And yeah, you know, that works as a stopgap for a couple of weeks or months, but you end up with the same problem again. Oh God, everyone's back rank 200 now. What do we do? So yeah.
Yeah, so...
Multiplayer
games are different. They again, are an experience-based thing. You can't really...
I don't think you can complete them in the sense of your list there that you're maintaining now.
Yeah.
You couldn't draw a line somewhere and say, that's enough Team Fortress to have completed it, you know?
I just wish I could put that sort of effort into a game and still enjoy it.
Well,
I'd love to spend...
Is that consecutive hours or repeated visits and so on? Do you take holidays? Do you take breaks? I mean, if you count that kind of thing, then, you know, return visits, then I think a lot of us put a lot more hours in. But it's just quite enviable, I suppose, being fascinated with one game for that long.
Okay, now we're going to move on to the elephant in the room, really.
Go on, man.
Which elephant? Trophies and achievements.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about World of Warcraft. That's usually the elephant in the room for some reason.
Yeah, but the...
Trophies and achievements.
Right. These give a new way of defining completed.
Okay.
Either with the Xbox, with having 100% of the achievements in a game.
100%ing a game, yep. Yeah.
Or, even more blatantly, with the PlayStation, where you have your Platinum Trophy, which is to get all of the other trophies.
Oh, they got just one thing that is all of it on the PlayStation.
Yeah, once you get all but one of them, you then unlock the last one.
Okay.
Which is a way of being able to say...
That's quite a definitive way of looking at, yes, this person has played, done absolutely everything, including the stupid bonkers stuff that we only put in for a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of these have you got, by out of interest?
Well,
Platinums, yeah.
Not that many, actually.
Oh, I've doorstepped him. You should know off by heart, blimey, the amount of hours and effort.
I don't care that much.
You so do.
I have...
You've signed up for truetrophies.com. That's above and beyond the pale. Most people don't care.
I have
two. You have two Platinum.
Yeah.
But dare I ask which game?
Assassin's Creed 2 and Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise, that's good going. Assassin's Creed, not too difficult. They are a lot of the stuff. Assassin's Creed 2, particularly, because it's all shown on the map, all the hidden stuff.
Assassin's Creed 1 didn't
Assassin's Creed 1's hard, a lot more hard work.
I 100%ed that on Xbox. PlayStation doesn't have a trophy for that, because it was just before trophies were introduced.
Fair enough.
But yes, no, I 100%ed Assassin's Creed 1.
Which is not easy, because a lot of the hidden stuff is actually proper hidden. Did you go and look them up on a website somewhere, or did you have to go and scour the game inside to find
them? You have to use a website, you print it out and cross them off. It takes weeks.
Well, either way, it's a lot of hard work and well done, yeah. Okay. Burnout Paradise, that's not an easy thing to do either. That's a lot of... You've got to be good at racing games. I probably would have trouble 100%ing
that. It's not a difficult thing to do. It just takes time, and it wasn't a chore, put it that way.
Oh, fair enough.
And I've still actually need to do the DLC for that.
Okay. Now, this website lets you see how many percent people have got these trophies as well, doesn't it?
Sort of. It shows you the ratio and whatnot, and how many people have got it.
Out of people played, this many people, this much percent managed to get the platinum, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if we're going to use that as any kind of metric of absolutely definitive, there is literally nothing left for me to do in this game.
No, it doesn't actually mean that.
No?
There could be content which isn't included in the achievements, of course. If you look at, say, GTA, for instance, the platinum on that includes 100%ing all the activities, which doesn't actually include 100%ing all the activities.
Okay.
There's stuff like some of the collections you don't have to do.
So is this the idea of these trophies and an acknowledgement that the story is not enough now? We put in way loads of more stuff, and if people are just going to play the story to the end and then go away, they're missing everything.
I think trophies and achievements were added in as a interesting little band-aid to stop the people who were just playing through the plot and moving on.
Hmm.
And it's created a bit of a monster, which is the people who will play, get all of the trophies or achievements, and then just get rid of the game. You look at the proper obsession.
But surely
people,
that's the correct behaviour, because at that point there's very little left for them to see. Yeah, you say the trophy doesn't cover everything, but there's not going to be an awful lot left once you've shaken out all of the go and find all the hidden things
and do all the
side things.
At that
point,
you're playing the game just to improve a score. It's part of a meta game
is that necessarily a bad thing? When, as you say, back in the 80s or whatever, computer games were largely about scores anyway. We didn't really have vast cinematic narratives in the sense we have nowadays.
That's true.
Perhaps this is more of a retro thing, a return to a kind of gaming purity, perhaps. I'm not sure I personally agree.
Is it wrong to play a game to get more trophies and achievements just so you can up your score?
Well, you might as well ask, is competition wrong? These are ways of showing... People who are passionate about gaming want to think that they're good at it, and a way of objectively comparing how good you are at gaming against other people. And remember, this is... It's almost impossible to compare how good one person is at Grand Theft Auto against someone else as being really good at Minecraft or whatever. You know, it's a sort of quite a ham-fisted way of comparing apples and oranges, really, isn't it?
It is, very much so.
So you sort of distill it all down to some kind of SI unit of gamer proficiency, which is what these trophies and Xbox points, I suppose, are attempting to try and be.
Well, they basically... They both give you a level.
Whether that's wrong to then want to have a higher amount of Xbox points than someone else who plays lots of Xbox games, I don't think so. It's a way of being competitive and taking pride in your proficiency at gaming, I suppose. Depends how the points are dished out, though. What do they even mean? Does 10 points in one game mean equivalent to 10 points in another game?
No, because there are certain games out there which give out the points like candy.
I remember you showing me, was it Avatar, the last Airbender
yes.
or something? There was some YouTube video or something you showed me, and basically you could stand in one place in this plaza and hold X down, and the character would start just killing everything around him, AOE style, and it would literally rack up the entire set of trophies.
You would get the full 1,000 points in minutes.
Yeah.
And then there's other stuff
like... Kill 10 villains, kill 30 villains, and so on, and, you know, it just works its way all the way up to however many, yeah. And you've done the whole thing.
And King Kong,
very lazy.
Xbox 360 launch title,
yeah,
it was 200... points on achievements for each chapter you finished in the game.
Oh, because they've only got 1,000 points they're allowed to dish out, and they just divided that up 200 points for each of the 5 chapters of the story.
And you got the full 1,000
easily. So literally following the story to the end would also 100% the game for you. But was there much in the way offside?
No, there was nothing. It was a very linear
quite
game.
An on-rails game. Well, there you go then.
In a way that
what
you don't
you do?
Actually get very often now.
No.
And it's interesting to consider the fact that if you did get a game which did that, it would probably be
it'd be slated, it really would. I just finished playing Remember Me, and I enjoyed it immensely, but I was redoing a bit of reading around Wikipedia and stuff, and it got quite a lot of criticism for being quite linear, and a lot of that is fair criticism.
Yeah.
It's a reasonably on-rails sort of thing.
But
quite
that adds all of the stuff in, like the... It's got a levelling system, it's got collection quests.
There's a lot more
stuff
to it than just this great long corridor you run down to the end, yeah, certainly.
You don't get a shooter or a game now which doesn't have collecting... items in the levels.
Hidden things in cubby holes and whatever. Maps, lore, whatever.
And I think that achievements and trophies are one of the reasons for that, because you just can't get away with not having other stuff to attach a trophy to.
So you have a game which is meant to be essentially a corridor shooter game. You go all the way to the end, and you're meant to follow the story and get involved, but not really worry too much about side questing and stuff, because what they've designed here is not an open world game. And yeah, you can't just dish... You get laughed at if you dish out the achievements and trophies for just following the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
So this collection gameplay gets added against the major design because it needs something to hang trophies off of.
Yeah, who needs collecting, say, in Gears of War, all of the cogs?
Mm.
It's completely
pointless. It did seem quite out of place in Gears, and a little bit out of place in Remember Me as well.
It's
quite a tense narrative journey, and suddenly we have to check every left-hand corridor just to make sure there's no weird bit of stuff, lore or whatever in there that we're never going to read anyway.
Remember Me's got the lore, and it's got the upgrades. Hiding the upgrades
is
quite a nice way to help flesh
out. Well, I personally was quite fascinated by the lore as well, but I didn't think it needed to be meshed into the gameplay particularly. It didn't have to become a collection thing. Why not just present the entire journal as an already unlocked thing you can just go and have a look at whenever you like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of the problems with achievements,
yep,
and one of the things that the Platinum Trophy was designed to fix, is DLC.
Yeah.
If you're 100% a game and DLC adds more,
you're
no longer 100%ed.
Yeah, yeah, that's moving the goalposts, isn't it?
Yeah. And the trophies
work quite well.
People
rightly get cross with that.
To get away with that, because it draws a line in the sand, I've completed the game at launch.
Well, these trophies, the deliberate blank holes, the deliberate attempt to try and sell DLC. You need to get the DLC, or you're not going to have all of the collectible things, you're not going to have all the points you could have. Is it an attempt to try and force people into buying DLC they'd otherwise be indifferent about, because their trophy cabinet would have a glaring hole in otherwise?
I don't know if it's that cynical. I think that perhaps... it may have become a bit more cynical. Like
well, this
that,
is why I think
realized.
We need. This is why we need to draw our own lines. This is why I say, you know, okay, I've completed this game. If the stuff that was on the disc when I first bought it is all done, I don't care about what they add afterwards, because otherwise it's madness. You'd end up just continually chasing DLC that you don't care about. You're not that interested in, and you don't want, just because you need a competitive nature would drive people to want to finish it all and keep it all finished.
One of the ways that that has been exploited is the multiplayer in these games.
Mm.
Where normally single-player games, which quite happily for years managed without having a tactile multiplayer, suddenly find themselves with a tactile multiplayer which needs you to level up 50 times to get one of the trophies.
Are you talking about Mass Effect 3, for example? That whole galactic readiness thing made me quite cross. It's a shame, because from what I've heard from loads of other people, the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer is very good.
It is, yeah.
It's a fantastic game, but did it need to impinge itself on the single-player game quite so much? No. This OCD flaring 50% galactic readiness that I couldn't do anything to get any better. I still won the game. I still got the good ending, and it all went reasonably well. But so I don't even know if that had been 100%, would the story be significantly different? If I'd have done my required 50 hours of multiplayer or whatever, I don't know.
You didn't have to do all 50.
I don't know. I'm perhaps exaggerating, but...
But yeah, it's just stuff like, you know, Assassin's Creed's got it as well. Bioshock even got it.
So we're getting to the point where you can't say you've completed the game unless you've gone online and been stomped by random strangers for 50 hours.
You'll find yourself having to play for tens of hours in order to level up a stat in... game mode you don't care about, just to be on a platform.
It depends what you define the game. If the game in its entirety is composed of both the single player and the multiplayer modes, then I suppose you need to have mastered or completed both to say you've completed the entire game. But if you don't care about multiplayer, then you just have to go with that. You just have to say, yes, I've only completed the single player. I've completed as much of this game as matters to me. It's about us defining our own lines, I think, rather than letting them, marketing people, game designers, decide what is complete.
It has actually got to the interesting point where when Infamous Second Son was announced, when they came out and said there's no multiplayer, this was actually heralded as a good feature.
There was much rejoicing. Was the multiplayer not great then, generally?
No, there wasn't any.
In previous...
No, there wasn't.
No, but none of the Infamous games have multiplayer?
No, but everyone else has been tacking on multiplayer, so it's just assumed that everyone else is going to do it.
Well, it can be a bad thing if it's done in haste or unnecessarily. There are better multiplayer games out there than most of these single-player story games can provide.
Assassin's Creed is an interesting one, because the multiplayer is almost identical each game.
The hiding the crowd thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't really move on. It was interesting to start with, but... if you're just adding it and not adding anything interesting, what's the point?
Yeah, expectations. But then, as you say, a lot of people don't even touch the single-player story in a Call of Duty game, so it depends. Horses for courses. It's what people are expecting from the game.
Yeah, it really does. There are a lot of trophies that are considered easy.
Okay. Almost always get one for successfully turning the game on. Put disc in drive and press start. Boing!
Actually...
There's a lot that do that.
Yeah, there are. But
it's amazing how many don't seem to get that trophy. There's one like that, and there's another. You'll get the next one after finishing the tutorial, And it's great looking at these true achievement type sites and seeing the fall off between turning game on and finishing tutorial.
Yeah. The PlayStation itself now will give you the percentages. Mm. And those are quite fantastic, some of the low numbers the people who own the game but haven't actually started it.
Yeah.
So they've got it as far as it being tagged on the system, either by starting it or having bought it
downloaded,
digitally.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's weird. But with the easier achievements, is it a good thing that it's making people go and say there is the multiplayer tacked on bit and there's a bunch of easy achievements to get for... I'm thinking of the Need for Speed example here, where you just go in and if you customise your license plate, you get a trophy.
Yeah.
Is having that actually encouraging people to do anything rather than tick a box?
I see this happening in a lot of MMOs. Typically, most MMOs that you get these days, when you get to like level 10 or whatever, which is generally one or two sessions in these days, you'll get given a load of quests to go and try a game of PvP or go and try a battleground or whatever, and usually they'll be a reward and some tokens and some quests and stuff, in the sense that people need to be incentivized to go and put themselves through that at all.
Yes.
Yeah, there'll be a hardcore PvP people who will want to just jump straight in there and never leave it, and that's fine. But most people playing the MMOs in PvE sense will get given these quests, and some people will just throw them out and won't even do them. But, you know, I generally do them because, yeah, all right, it's a bit of XP and some reward and gold and stuff. I'll go in there, I'll do one match, I'll get drubbed, and I won't go back ever again. But the idea that I wouldn't have gone in there at all in the first place if it wasn't for the sort of that kind of hand-holding. So having seen that appear as part of what's required to complete a game, but then some of the completions require you to do quite Herculean things in PvP. If you're talking completed, you know, get all the trophies, you're going to have to, you know, get really good at PvP to get the
yeah.
high-end ones as well. So I don't know.
Well, it's stuff like Gears of War's a good one there.
Mm.
There's ones for killing tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of the Guild Wars Hall of Monuments, Guild Wars 1. Completing Guild Wars is fairly easy in terms of story. You work your way through the various story missions. There's one or two that are quite hard work, and you perhaps need some people who know what they're doing to come with you in a group or whatever. But on the whole, you can solo through all of the major campaigns in Guild Wars with heroes and henchmen. But the Hall of Monuments, on the other hand, you get points for doing various things in the game, and these titles and points all add up to I think you get maximum 50 points to carry cool stuff through into Guild Wars 2. And most people consider it complete at 30, because some of the things you need to do to accumulate the 50 points of Hall of Monuments achievements are insane.
Yes.
They are, yeah, like you say, they kill hundreds of thousands of people in PvP and stuff. There's, you know, some really quite high-end gladiator type achievements, which you just, particularly with the game in its late stages where almost no one plays anymore, is very difficult to get indeed. So yeah, I think a good game has a comfortably achievable basic completion, the story, whatever. But yeah, stick the absolute completion thing right up at the far end, because these are going to be the really obsessed people. These are the
yeah.
people who love your game to death and want to just spend all their time doing it. So you need to give them something that's going to take a very, very long time and quite a lot of skill to do, I think.
There's a really nice balance to be had there.
Mm.
Assassin's Creed 4 is a reasonable one for that,
yeah.
Which just means there's enough extra stuff in the world to do, finding all of the treasures, doing all the collections, whatnot.
Yeah.
And that is there for anyone who finishes the plot and just wants to keep being in that world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I think getting that balance right is one of the harder things in gaming at the moment, because some games are getting incredibly wrong.
Well, I think if your game's designed well, then you don't even need a sort of found all the flags type achievement to keep people playing. They're just going to keep playing and doing the basic gameplay over and over, hopefully.
But I wonder whether or not that attitude has gone away a lot now with...
You think that's a bit out of touch?
Yeah, with
people need some kind of thing to be aiming at, or they're not going to play at all.
I think with achievements and trophies, once you've ticked off that I've completed this game trophy at on whichever difficulty level you're on...
I suppose there's an element of scheduling and compulsion there as well. If you complete to your own satisfaction a game, then you can now, with clean conscience, start up the next game in your in tray, in your pile of shame or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you've now freed up that task. You've ticked, put a tick in a box, even if you enjoyed it. And just still enjoying it when you've finished got to that tick in the box. That tick in the box now means that you can now hold your head up high and with pride move on to the next game. You haven't been beaten by it. You don't get that guilt that you get from getting bored with a game and wandering off and thinking, oh, I should probably have finished that. But no, I have finished that. I can now go ahead and start something new, because, you know, no, very few of us buy one game ever and just stay playing it forever, you know. We work our way through releases at varying paces. I'm a little behind, I know, but even I do, you know, move between stuff.
That's the reason why I'm keeping track.
And I'm
happy
moving on to the next thing if I know I've completed the last thing, because then I don't feel like I've wasted enjoyment and potential, you know.
I've got an awful lot of games which I've played an hour of and something else has come along and I've not gone back to it.
Yeah, and it wasn't that game's fault either.
Yeah, I'm making a effort to go through and remedy this.
The very fact that this has had to become a conscious exercise for you suggests that I think probably most people have a similar attitude, and that you will just drift from game to game, and the idea of completing them for their own sake, just out of hand, is becoming a rarer thing, perhaps.
I think it is. It's a real shame if you don't finish the plot, I think.
Yeah.
If you liked the game.
Yeah. If you don't know how it all turned out at the end.
Yeah.
I suppose you could say the leaving before the end maintains a sense of anticipation and mystery, but
that's why I always walk out of movies before.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hang on, it looks like we're coming up to the last act now. I'm off, you know, and then I shall never know. I shall never know, but I shall always wonder. And that will keep me interested forever. Oh,
that would have made Iron Man 3 so much
better. But the sort of post-revelatory sort of depression that I sometimes get with particularly intense story games, I think Mass Effect 2, you know, I came out at the end of Mass Effect 2 thinking, yeah, I got the good ending and hardly anyone died or anything and it was all right. And I came out thinking, now what?
Yeah.
You've got nothing to look forward to now because I've completed it, you know. And that's why I suppose we then just crash straight onto the next game and hope it's just as enthralling.
Well, I've had some games recently where I've got them on the Friday, completed them late on the Saturday.
I didn't worry about that, yeah.
And then can't play a game for a couple of days because I completely...
You burnt yourself out.
Burnt myself out because I was so into the story.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of rationing the inevitable completion as you go, to make it stretching out a bit. That's what I did with Remember Me. I could have probably crashed through that in about 2-3 days if I'd have really gone at it. And it was interesting enough for me to have wanted to do so, but I, you know, deliberately didn't play it, despite it being the thing I wanted to play, just to make my experience of it last a bit longer.
An interesting technique I've been experimenting with is I stop playing a game when I get a trophy or an achievement.
Okay. Trophies as a sort of session marker.
Yeah, so I will play something else.
Okay.
So I won't... I'm trying not to binge on a game, and I will just move to the next game when I progress.
Interesting. And how's that work?
It's actually... I was doing it at the start of the year quite a lot, and then I ended up looking...
Bing trophy appears, right, save game, let's play something else now.
Then I ended up looking to see exactly how many days in a row I'd got a trophy, and it was 92. And then I decided I'm not going to play a game tomorrow.
So what you've done, in fact, is just turned it into a sort of kill streak trophy thing.
Yes, and these sites...
Did you get multipliers for not dropping a day?
These sites have this concept. Wow. And, I noticed...
Way to mathematically ruin everything,
I noticed last week that I was up to 27 days again, so I ended up taking a day off playing games. Because it just feels like, oh, hang on.
That's a shame, because the fundamental plan you had there sounded quite stout. Quite sound. It's a good idea to sort of ration out the experience into blocks based on how basic progression through.
Yeah, it's like
pacing it out and giving you something. Presumably, you were then looking forward to going back to it in the future. Yeah, exactly.
So, you have to force yourself to stop.
That's enough of that. We'll carry on later.
It's like reading a chapter of a book before you go to bed.
Yeah,
you could stay up all night playing it, reading the entire book. But
physical well-being and stuff also. Yeah. But then are these trophies paced far apart enough to be able to do that?
You could end up with the difficult situation of... I was doing it with Killzone 2, actually, a game I've never managed to get through, but doing it this way was helping. Hmm. Then I just got to a bit where I was getting trophies for a number of kills in different ways very quickly.
They all sort of come in at the same time,
So I think I might have to make it so it's only the ones that relate to the story.
Because it's very difficult to regulate how many kills you get and all that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm only going to kill 200 enemies tonight in any shape or form. That'd be a strange way to play.
I've killed 9,999 enemies.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to finish this level without killing anyone.
I don't want to get two trophies in a row. Yeah.
So, I think I might have to limit it just to...
It's theoretically sound, yeah.
But, it was an interesting way, and it does seem to work for me, so I should probably start doing that again.
Although, would that have any specific advantage over just time blocks? I'm only going to play 2 hours of this, no matter how well or bad I'm doing.
Yes, but...
It's very, very difficult to keep track of that kind of thing, I find.
Yeah, if you get sucked into it. You get sucked in and you don't notice that you've just spent 2 hours throwing yourself against a boss.
Where a particular boss fight screws that right up,
Of course, it's also ruined by games which give story trophies too often. Mm-hmm. But then again, it just means you move on to the next game and... It does mean you're playing a larger range of games.
Yeah.
So, lastly,
back
to the definitions, because this is actually a tricky one.
Okay.
When have you finished or completed a episodic game?
Who?
Take Telltale Games, they're my big example of this.
Yeah. Essentially, that's where the DLC is all there is. It comes as just small snippets every so often.
You've got six episodes.
Yeah.
Released over the course of 6 months or so, or a year. And at the end of each one, you get a thing saying you've finished this bit, and then you have to wait until the next one's
released. Save game, is there persistence between episodes?
Yeah.
Is there save game goes across to the next episode or something?
Yes,
like that?
It's remembering your choices, much like Mass Effect.
Yeah, yeah. So presumably the entire series then of episodes is when you've completed it. But you can look at each individual episode as a thing that is to be completed in its own right. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
It's a strange one, yeah. I suppose my gut feeling is that once you treat the whole series as one endeavour, I think, because probably these little episodes add up to one proper game.
And they're only a couple of hours each.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. The sort of content of it all. I think probably, whatever the series purports to be. Do they announce out front how many episodes are going to be, or is it just we're going to keep making them until we get bored?
You know from the start.
Yeah, so probably the entire series then is the game, essentially. It's just being delivered in smaller chunks.
Yeah, spread out over time.
Hmm.
I must go back and finish Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about those games are, it's getting onto the trophy and achievement side of it, is they tend to make it so that finishing it will get you everything.
Yeah.
So only in rare cases do those games they'll give you some missable ones.
Yeah.
But there's very few checklist ones that you need to go through and just make sure you tag every point.
I guess episodic content, by the very definition, tends towards more narrative story stuff anyway.
Oh, it does.
Rather than, here is the next quadrant of your large open world. You can now cross this border.
Okay.
I don't see any large-scale Assassin's Creed-type, Just Cause-type game being done episodically.
Okay, so has anyone finished Half-Life 2?
Yes.
Considering there was going to be three episodes of the DLC, and they gave up after two.
No, I think Half-Life 2 is Half-Life 2. You've completed it or you haven't. The episodes, I don't think Valve have completed the episodes, have they?
No, they haven't. That's the big problem.
That's your first problem, right? Yeah. No, I think, the episodes is largely a sort of sequel standalone thing anyway, isn't it?
In those examples, those episodes were big enough to be, I think,
treat each one singly, I guess.
I guess the difference with the Telltale stuff is you launch it all in from the same game.
I think you have to know ahead how many you're expecting to make it up to a full game. I mean, that's the thing with the Half-Life thing. No one really knew how many were supposed to be. Was it going to be three?
They said three. They promised three.
Well, then they're big fat liars.
It's very conspicuous, the lack of that three.
I think they got most of the way into that and thought, well, let's just run Steam instead. It's far more profitable than Half-Life ever was.
If only they
and then we can just do a thing with zombies or whatever.
If only they hadn't left two on a bit of a cliffhanger. Because that would be really annoying.
I expect, Duke Nukem Forever turned up eventually. I imagine there'll be an episode 3 sooner or later once they've done, gotten bored to death, have milked everything out of Portal and Left for Dead.
I think
whatever else they make. They do Team Fortress, that's them, isn't it? Yeah, well, whatever.
Well, you see,
they'll run out of hats to make. There'll be no more hats left. They'll have added every hat ever to the game, and then they'll do episode 3.
See, the problem is they had Team Fortress, they made Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
They had Portal, I made Portal 2.
Yeah.
They had Left 4 Dead, I made Left 4 Dead 2. They had Half-Life, made Half-Life 2. They wanted to make some more, so they made Half-Life 2 Episode 1. Then they made Episode 2. But they're physically incapable of going to 3 on anything.
Well, there we go then. I guess there'll never be an Episode 3, no. Unless they do an Episode 2.1 and an Episode 2.2.
They could do Half-Life 3. No, they can't.
No, that's a three.
Yes,
not our threes. They just don't like the number three. Right. Yeah. Now we know how to bring down Steam if ever the uprising requires it.
You can't buy threes on Steam.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
That's a fact we knew without looking anything
mainly up. Mainly because it's a mobile phone game.
Anyway.
Yeah. So,
At
the end of all that, what have we learned? We've learned that finishing games is subjective. I've got very OCD about it, and trophies and achievements are probably evil, but we like them anyway.
I think it's important to finish games, mostly because I was quite poor, quite a poor kid who didn't have many toys growing up, and I was always taught to use the things you've got, make the most of the things you've got. So I think unless you hate a game, obviously, and it doesn't just not for you and not what you thought it was going to be, that's fine. But if you like a game, you should make efforts to complete them.
Yeah,
I think because you're using the entire thing then, more or less. I guess.
Yeah, and with my rules now, I'm not buying games unless I am finishing them, so...
Well, I think we're coming under increasing pressure as well because of the release cycles and schedules of everything. We're just getting much more games now than back in the day. There's just more releases and more stuff coming up all the time. Now look at this, now come over here, now buy this one. You know, these publishers are slotting their big instalments into the schedule throughout the year, and you know, we're getting less and less time to get each one done if we want to keep up with the whole thing. So we're having to start and make choices.
Between Steam and the consoles, I would say that every week this year you could buy a good game.
Yeah. And you won't get it done in a week unless you really go at it. Yeah. So we're going to have to start choosing to either, you know, say, no, I have enough games now. I will come to you when I'm ready, which is what I do. Or we can decide to just play the bejesus out of these things and stay up most of the night and chase every trophy in there and try and stay on top of an increasingly frequent release schedule, which is largely what my co-host tends to try and do. I don't know. You know, it's, at some point we're going to have to say, no, look, I'm not ready yet. I haven't finished the things I've been given before.
Well, I'll tell you what really does it for that. It's Octobers and Novembers.
Yeah.
Where you're getting multiple games a week.
Big Christmas lineups and Black Fridays and all the rest of it. Where it all clusters and you just have to start making choices. But then, you know, if these games are any good, they'll be there in the shelves in a year's time or two years' time or whatever.
You miss a game when it comes out, you're ready. You never go back to it.
I do. You're talking to Mr. 3 month rule here. You know, I never buy things when they just come out. I listen to what other people say, and listen to podcasts and reviews and things.
There are so many good games
you
haven't played.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to them immensely. And that gives me hope. That gives me drive. That gives me, you know, a reason to keep going. Sometimes, you know, pathetic as that sounds.
If you ever play those games,
I have things to look forward to, and I know for a fact that they're good because my peers have already played them and given me the thumbs up. It's the 3 month rule. But, yeah, I think it's important to complete the games you buy.
I think it definitely is. And I would recommend anyone keeping a list of what they have completed, because after a couple of games, it suddenly gets a lot more reassuring that maybe you aren't just wasting your time on the games and you're actually making progress.
It's all subjective, of course. I mean, it could be argued that entire list is a litany of wasted time, but let's not go there. Let's not pull that thread.
No, that thread's a little bit...
Okay, dangerous. Jolly good.
Yeah, so completing games is fun.
Mm. What did you learn this week?
I learnt this week that it is very, very, very important to make sure that you dust your computer.
Right, you're suffering a bit with the allergy. You've made it to the end, though. I learned this week that whole burying ET cartridge things in the desert thing was real.
Yeah.
I always thought it was an urban legend. I mean, yeah, people talked about it a lot. But I always thought the whole literal burying in the desert thing was just figurative. You know, we might as well have just buried all these things in the desert, and they were actually just sat in a warehouse somewhere or just burnt in an incinerator. But no, there was like people tweeting all through yesterday about some massive dig out in Arizona where they were coming up with ET Atari cartridges.
It's the first bit of computing archaeology for gaming.
Literal archaeology.
But there has been literal archaeology for computing.
Okay. People have dug up old computers from places in the past.
Where they were buried at Bletchley.
Oh, they buried them in Bletchley, did they?
Yeah, the old ones. Smashed them up and buried them.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Because back when they didn't want people to know that we invented the computer.
Fascinating stuff. See if you can make it through your spiel without sneezing.
Yes, you can. Go along to howtomurdertime.com where you can leave us comments and stuff. You can also go along to iTunes where you can leave us comments and reviews, and that'd be good because prizes being points or something.
I have no idea how iTunes works.
No.
I'm probably the last one.
Yes, you could also go along to the Steam group and see what we're all ranting about then.
Yeah.
It's mainly Minecraft, to be honest.
It's quite a lot of... It's basically all change on the static group night. I'll probably talk more about that on the next What We're Playing show. But, yes, quite a lot of the stuff we've been playing previously throughout the week is sort of fallen into disfavour, and we've got an entirely new lineup pretty much every night of the week now. So, more details than that to come.
Well, it's far too... I can't keep up this organised play.
I know. It's great.
So you can join us next week where we'll be talking about what we play.
Yeah. With that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.